please rise in our processional hymn as hymn number 876, Let the Whole Creation Cry, 876. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I invite you to rise with an invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following. Page 138 in the front of the hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
You have an insert with the hymn of praise on it. I'm trying to find it in my hymnal. All creatures of our God and King, we've been singing this all month, verse by verse, singing the first verse and then another verse. So we sing verse 1 and 5 today. Found on the insert that you came in with, that also has the prayer of the church today. We're learning after 2 weeks of no copier. So we sing our hymn of praise today, all creatures of our God and King, verses 1 and 5.
Good morning. The first reading today comes from Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel in Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom of all that is done under heaven. It is unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who came after me, and who knows whether they will be wise or foolish. Yet they will master all of which I have toiled and use my wisdom under the sun. This is also vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain that they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This is also vanity. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalmody today is Psalm 49. Hear this, all you peoples.
Give ear, all inhabitants of the world.
Both low and high.
Rich and poor together.
My mouth shall speak wisdom.
The meditation of my heart shall be understanding.
I will incline my ear to a proverb.
I will solve my riddle to the music of the harp.
Why should I fear in times of trouble?
When the iniquity of my persecutors surround me.
Those who trust in their wealth.
And boast of the abundance of their riches.
Truly, no ransom avails for one's life.
There is no price one can give to God for it.
For the ransom of life is costly.
And can never suffice.
That one should live on forever.
And never see the grave.
When we look at the wise, they die.
Fool and dolt perish together.
And leave their wealth to others.
Their graves are their homes forever.
Their dwelling places to all generations.
Though they name lands their own.
Mortals cannot abide in their pomp.
They are like the animals that perish.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading today comes from Colossians. So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever is you in earthly fornication, impurities, passion, evil, desire, and greed, which is adultery. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all the things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self and its practices and have clothed yourself with a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jewish, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ in all, and Christ is all. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel for today, this eighth Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Rabbi, teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And Jesus said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist of an abundance of possessions."
Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich towards God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Let us pray at this time in preparation for the sermon. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. This is a very hard gospel to read and to preach in an agricultural community, of which we are. I spoke with Jerry Kress, dryland wheat farmer in Rockland, many times about this passage of scripture 14 years ago and following. I spoke with dryland wheat farmers up in Montana many times about this passage. And it was never easy. After all, in Vacation Bible School, and I wish we had some Vacation Bible School kids here. We have some people who worked it, though, and that's good. In Vacation Bible School, we learned the story from Genesis 41 about Joseph interpreting the dreams of Pharaoh. Pharaoh had dreams that for 7 years there'd be fat calves and cows, and there'd be plenty. And then for 7 years there would be lean cows that were just skin, hide, and bones. Then he had another dream that there would be 7 years of fat sheaves of wheat. Bumper crop, they used to call it up in Montana. I don't know what they call it in Idaho. But bumper crop. There was a picture, speaking of Jerry Kress, I go off the tangent here, squirrel. Jerry Kress had a picture in his home. And he wasn't a tall man, and either is Pastor Beek. The wheat was up to his chin. The beards and the head of the wheat were up to Jerry Kress's chin. I said, "Were you kneeling in the field?" He goes, "No, it was a good year." Pharaoh dreamed that there'd be 7 good years like that in Rockland, Idaho, dry land wheat farmers. But then after that, there would be 7 years of drought and no wheat at all. Joseph was taken out of prison where he's being held. We won't talk about that, even though children are not present, there are women here. But he's being held. Go home and read the story why he was in prison, okay? He was taken out of prison and he brought to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, "This is my dream." And he said, "Well, it's okay. God told me what it means. We are to store up in the granaries and in all of the storehouses, all of the fat years, so that when the lean years come, we will have plenty to share with everyone." And indeed, Joseph saved Egypt. And Joseph was made, as I told the kids in Bible school a couple weeks ago, Joseph was made the vice president of Egypt. Forget Mike Pence, forget Kamala Harris. It was Joseph, son of Jacob, who was vice president. And not only did they save, he and Pharaoh, the whole land of Egypt with the bounty that they stored up, but they were able to save Joseph's family who came from Cana, who were starving. They said, "At least maybe we would get some sort of help from the Egyptians who seemed to have enough." We just studied that story, and here we've got Jesus telling the parable about a rich man who does the same thing. But it's in a very different way. To be sure, saving for future material needs is one component of proper stewardship, we say in the church, of God's gifts and bounty. Yet there are two things to be mindful of when we do that. One, we are to give glory to God. And two, we are to care for one another's neighbors. Okay, this is the Gospel of Luke, after all. And for 6 months already, you've been hearing me say that the emphasis in Gospel of Luke are the poor, the widow, the orphan, the foreigner, and the outcast. Those people who are marginalized and vulnerable, and those who are without access to the needs for survival. Does it sound like 2022 around the world? One percenters and the other 99%? It's a long quote, but I think it's worth sharing on this hot summer morning, and I'll try to make it worth listening to. The quote is better said than I can say it myself. A theologian in the church says, "For Luke's theological perspective, riches, i.e. having wealth, possessions, and elite economic status, that's the important one, are not neutral. They are inherently negative, according to Luke. People become rich by exploiting the poor. People use riches to enhance their own status, Luke chapter 14, and lavishly to enjoy their own positions in life, Luke chapter 16. Mary, the mother of our Lord, first revealed God's negative attitude towards the rich and lofty in Luke chapter 1. Do you think there's a theme going on here, according to Luke? No wonder he shares this parable from Jesus. Jesus spoke many, many, many dozens and dozens and hundreds of parables to his followers. We have just a few collected in the Gospels. Luke chooses to record this one for a reason. Mary first revealed God's negative attitude towards the rich and the lofty in Luke chapter 1. Jesus also shares such a negative attitude, Luke chapter 6. So go home and read Luke this afternoon. This text recalls and expands on their perspectives of depicting the life-threatening nature of riches. Trivia pursuit question. And back in the 80s, they came out with a Bible trivia pursuit. Oh, Vicar John, I was on internship in Baltimore. Vicar John, come over for dinner and we'll play a game. I lost miserably every time we played Bible trivia pursuit. One of the questions, though, in Bible trivia pursuit is, what is the one topic Jesus talks most about in the Gospels that we have? You know the answer to that one? You could win the game. Not abortion, not gender identity, not whether you should be in church on Sunday or not. I mean, God already talked about that. What's that?
Money.
Ding, ding, ding. The Presbyterian pastor guy. This isn't a dialogue sermon. What you doing? You think you're in a Baptist church or something? I love it. He's blushing now. He's exactly right. The one thing Jesus talked the very most about is money. Very good, sir. Very good. We'll hear from the other pastor in the back row soon. Okay? I'm giving him credit there. Yeah. Yeah, we have a couple here. Yeah, there's three pastors in the room at least. Okay? Ordained. Money. Jesus spoke more about money than anything else. The guy goes on to quote, "In this portion of scripture, Jesus is teaching his disciples amid a crowd of thousands." Go home. I had forgotten that. Chapter 1 of verse 12. He was preaching to thousands of people. Now, we don't know if this was the feeding of the 5,000 or what. Okay? But thousands of people he was preaching to. When an unnamed individual interprets Jesus with a man of his own, the unnamed man asks Jesus to tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him. According to Judaic law, an older brother would receive 2/3 of the estate, while the younger brother would receive 1/3. This brother, presumably the younger, has less power and needs an advocate, and he wants Jesus to help him possess his rightful possessions. Jesus' question and response indicates that Jesus' role is not mediator of family inheritance disputes. He wasn't a lawyer. He wasn't a Pharisee or a scribe. He was a prophet. Instead, Jesus gives a warning to the crowd to be on guard against insatiable greediness, because the meaning and value of one's life is not established through accumulating abundant possessions. Any of you old film buffs, okay? Citizen Kane, one of my favorites. It's supposed to be one of the greatest movies ever made. Citizen Kane is all about this Bible passage, exactly in spades. It's not established through accumulating abundant possessions. In the economic realities of the first century world, insatiable greed, and think 2022 here. It's uncanny how this all overlaps. In the economic realities of first century world, insatiable greediness also had communal implications. If one person became richer and richer, it meant that others, conversely, would become poorer and poorer. Sound familiar? Because economics is a zero-sum game. Forget Trivia Pursuit, the original one or the Bible one. Economics is the game that we play in 2022. One's life is always intertwined with the lives of others, important, as well as with God. The two things we're supposed to be mindful of, right, is to give God the glory and to care for one's neighbor, the poor, the widow, the orphan, the foreigner, the outcast, the women of the world. Now, if you had your bulletins, which you don't, so you're off the hook, other than the Presbyterian pastor, okay? Note the pronouns. I'm giving you a hard time now. It's a dialogue sermon. You open Pandora's box. I love it. They all know, you know, oh, don't do that. And I had a woman up in Montana. Every time I asked a rhetorical question, she'd answer it. And finally, I had to take Violet to the corner one week and say, Violet, I know you're intelligent. I know you're smart. And I know you know the answers. But not everybody else does. I'm giving them a chance to answer it themselves. She got it. She never answered the question again. Yeah. I know you know all the answers. No. Listen to the pronouns again. Listen to the parable. I'm not going to change it or anything. Listen to the pronouns. The guy uses I, me, my. Last week we talked about the pronouns in the Lord's Prayer. Do you remember that? Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Our, us, we. Then Jesus told them a parable, the thousands of people on the hillside. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, bumper crop. And he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Did you listen to that carefully? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns. What? I thought you had nowhere to store your crops. And build larger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat and drink, be merry. I, me, my. I have no place to store my crops. So I'll pull down all the old barns and grain silos. People in Montana, I don't know what they do in southeastern Idaho, but people in Montana, they watched every year how many grain bins people had on their property. Oh boy, those dry land wheat farmers. We were in the midst of a 10-year drought. I came 5 years into a 10-year drought. Farmers taught me more about trust and faith and belief than I ever learned in seminary. And after 5 years of living through that, getting paid every 8 weeks if I wanted to be or not, that's how I learned how to pay my bills on time and always have money to pay bills for the next month because I may not have the income to do so. After 5 years of brown sky, brown land, brown crops that were only inches tall instead of up to someone's chin, the rains came and we praised God. There's a concern here only for the guy's self, for himself. He's self-centered, right? There's nothing about being grateful to God, the glory of God. There's nothing about taking care of his neighbors. God, who is the giver of life and bounty and wealth, ultimately. His neighbors who might be in need of that excess. That's why Joseph and Pharaoh were blessed by God for 7 years. I give God the credit. Bumper crops. Crops up to your chin, no matter how tall you were, 6'8", and they were still up to your chin. That then for 7 years they might share, not only with the nation of Egypt, but even with people from Canaan, Joseph's own family. On the back of your worship bulletins, turn to it right now. No, you don't have worship bulletins. That's a trick question. Some people are looking like, I got one? No. You're used to that. No worship bulletins, but on the back of the worship bulletin in the next couple weeks when you see it, there are two phrases. Amid all of the income, outgoing, expenses, and all that kind of thing. They've been on that bulletin for 14 years, as long as I've been your pastor. Two phrases are, one, quote, called to serve through our giving. And the second one, quote, blessed to be a blessing. God has given to us that we might give to one another. But is God and our neighbor a part of our lives, our abundance? Do we care for one another as God cares for us? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Give us today our daily bread, not just me and my and I. True story. True story about a social worker in a poverty-stricken Appalachia not so many years ago. The Sheldons were a large family in severe financial distress after a series of misfortunes in their lives. The help they received was not adequate, yet they managed their meager income with ingenuity and without complaint. One fall day, I, a social worker, visited the Sheldons in their ramshackled rented house, the one that they lived in at the edge of the woods. Despite a painful physical handicap, Mr. Sheldon had shot and butchered a bear, which strayed into their yard once too often and killed some of their chickens. The meat had been processed in all big canning jars, all the ones they could find and swap for. There would be meat in their diet even through the worst of the winter months, when their fuel costs would be so high and they wouldn't have enough wood for the stove. Mr. Sheldon offered me a jar of bear meat. I hesitated to accept it, but the giver met my unspoken resistance firmly. "Now, you just have to take this," he said. "We want you to have it. We don't have much, that's a fact, but we ain't poor." I couldn't resist asking, "What's the difference?" He answered with an unforgettable answer. Mr. Sheldon said, "When you can give something away, even when you don't have much, then you ain't poor. When you don't feel easy giving something away, even when you have more than you need, then you're poor, whether you know it or not." I accepted and enjoyed their gift and treasured that lesson in living. In time, I saw it as a spiritual lesson too. Knowing that all we have is provided by God, it seems ungracious to doubt that our needs will be met without our clinging to every morsel. When I feel myself resisting an urge to share what's mine, or when I see someone sharing freely, from what little they have, I remember Mr. Sheldon saying, "We ain't poor." Amen. So our second hymn, our hymn of the day, is hymn number 775, Jesus, Priceless Treasure. Listen to the words as you sing them. Familiar tune, 775, Jesus, Priceless Treasure.
Jesus Christ, most treasure.
fantastic, and we, some of us in the church know it. I grew up singing this thing, Magdalene as it is. But old German hymn, we'll sing the last two verses. Now you know the tune, sort of. There's some sharps and flats and everything else in there. And for all of you sopranos, that high E, just for you today. I'm singing two octaves lower. But verse 2 and verse 3, 775, listen to the words as you sing it.
Church, for all of God's creation,
and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. God, you are wholeness, and you are one. Where there are divisions in your church, bring reconciliation and healing. Guide the work of theologians, Sunday school teachers, seminary professors, vacation Bible school staff, and all who provide instruction for the building up of your church. God of grace, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. God, you are the source of all life. Where creation cries out in distress, bring relief and renewal. We pray and ask blessing for all those affected by fires, floods, heat, and drought across our nation and the world. God of grace, hear our prayer. Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. Interceding on behalf of the vulnerable, we pray for all people. Inspire all rulers, all leaders, and all governing authorities with your justice and peace. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Guide the work of all advocates for the well-being of those they serve. God of grace,
hear our prayers.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. God, you are the wisdom and life. Bring encouragement and your presence to all who are experiencing emotional, mental, and physical distress, especially those whom we now name in our own hearts and in our own minds. Send us as your healing presence in their lives. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. God, do a new thing within us. Build up and strengthen the ministries and mission of this congregation, especially today as we pray for and give you thanks for the students, staff, and teachers of our own Vacation Bible School program. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit, your hope, your love, and your joy. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Lord of compassion, we pray for all those who are working through and suffering from this world pandemic. Bless the efforts and the work of all healthcare professionals, scientists, and workers across our nation and the world. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you. Especially this day, we lift up Ivan, and those whom we name before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration of their lives. Turn our mourning into the joy of the resurrection and new life in you. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Ava Gehring. Happy birthday this week to Sadie Porth, Derek Taylor, James Kress, Ben Strand, and Josh Gold. Happy anniversary today to Hank and Debbie Boomer. Altar flowers today are given to the glory of God and in loving memory of Martha Allen by Sid and Marilyn Allen and Jolene Mark. This week at St. John's, see the readings and prayers page with the week's events listed on the schedule there. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections in the ones found there? I invite the communion assistants to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offering hymn is hymn number 465, As the Grains of Wheat. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for the Holy Communion.
Oh,
body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it for all of them to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing and prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the hymnal. Page 146. All's prepared. Body of Christ given to you. Body of Christ given to you.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ given to you. The body of Christ given to you. The body of Christ given to you. The body of Christ given to you. The body of Christ given to you. The body of Christ. Body of Christ given to you. The 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 body of Christ.
body of Christ and room for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ and room for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Please rise for the blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn number 208, and the prayer, the blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Thank you.
serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
She won't be here the last weekend in August, which is interesting, because she usually is for AFW Bread.
That's what I thought, too.
But, no, so we're going to take all this off. Take the whole thing off.
Oh.
You want to put out the candles for me? Can you do that? The lighter thing is right over there by the acolyte thing. I can go visit her company. Thank you. I thought I knew that hymn better, Jesus Christ's Treasure.
Well, there's...
It's another tune.
Yeah,
the old SBH, the old red hymnal, not the new hymnal. But Ann Casperson said that she knew it. What's that?
Who are the company? The company, who is it?
She is a niece to Harold Begg.
Oh, really?
Her mother was Harold Begg's sister. So she knew Harold and Irene really well, and they were at both their funerals, and I did both of those. I don't remember their names at all. They're from Eden, Idaho, outside of Twin Falls.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know about either. I can't remember their names at all.
Yeah. I just wondered if they were related to the Charles.
I have a Charles. I used to live up the street from them.
Charleses. Oh, yeah.
My mom was really good friends with Faye.
I forgot that he grew up here. He grew up with Dwayne and Daryl Quinn.
Yeah, he was best friends. He was best friends with my brothers, too.
Yeah, okay.